The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
This week's episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Geek Fuel. Go to geekfuel.com/lasertime to sign up for a box of geeky goodies sent to you directly. And if you sign up through geekfuel.com/lasertime, you will get an exclusive Star Wars item worth $20 added to your first box.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we have celibacy thrust upon us. I am your host, Bob Mackey, and this is the Lasertime Podcast Network's Simpsons Companion Podcast.
Indeed it is.
Who else is here today?
Christopher Antista.
Henry Gilbert, I chose celibacy.
Special guest.
Dana Goodman.
Dana Goodman, the host of 302010.
Co-host.
Great
yes.
new podcast on this network.
Yes, and if you liked the next segment, you might like that show too. Yeah. Check it out. Woo. A look at pop culture history 30 years ago, 10 years ago, and 20 years ago. Why did I do it out of order?
Plugs here. Yeah. Okay.
So this episode today for this episode is Principal Charming, second season episode, which aired on February 14th, 1991. And of course, this episode is about Principal Skinner and Patty's failed romance.
A love story for Valentine's Day.
Exactly. It aired on Valentine's Day.
Aw, that's and, sad.
Yes, it is very sad. They broke up on Valentine's Day. So, Chris, what happened on Valentine's Day of 1991?
Oh, boy, Bobby.
Oh, my God.
Bobby, you wouldn't believe it. lots of new music news. Gary Shandling hosts the 33 annual Grammy Awards, where Mariah Carey is awarded the Best New Artist. BET and MTV fight over the exclusivity of MC Hammer's new video, Here Comes the Hammer, and female rappers Queen Latifah, MC Light, MC Trouble, MC Smooth, Yo-Yo, Nefertiti, Miss Melody, MC, and Nikki D perform a concert for Black History Month.
What happened to all the MCs? I don't
That's
hear about
amazing.
It as many anymore.
I think that Gary Shandling Grammys is the one where
oh my God.
Frank Sinatra won his his Lifetime Achievement Award, and then they cut him off. And
because yes,
I remember
I
Gary
right.
Shandling apologized for that, but then Sinatra later said, like, I was a rambling old man. Like, I was waiting for someone to cut me off. I had nothing to say.
Really? Self-awareness from Frank Sinatra?
That is strange to hear.
It was one of those, like, weird bouts of self-awareness.
A moment
probably
of clarity.
After that. It was like, anyway, baby, let's get back to
Principal
Vegas,
Charming.
Baby.
And I love that Diana is here to talk about this one, because this one is, like, we'll get to it.
It's a more feminine yeah. episode.
Well,
it
but
is,
filled
for
with,
sure.
filled with almost needless classical movie
very,
references,
very
wall
needless.
To wall.
It really is. Yeah. And this episode, I want to say at first, is written by David Stern, who's the brother of Daniel Stern,
really?
Home Alone's Daniel Stern. And he focused on
was
episodes.
The greatest time of my life.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, in the Wonder Years. And he basically does the best episodes of The Simpsons about female characters. Mm. Like, he gave Patty and Selma a humanity you would not see a lot more
he
in this
the
show.
He did the Jub Jub episode. He did the
that
Jub
too,
Jub one,
yeah.
too. That was kind of a sequel to this.
Is it the first focus on Patty and Selma?
It's the first
yeah.
episode about secondary characters. The Simpsons are kind of shoved
huh.
aside, but they're
wow.
I think they're kind of seamlessly woven into this episode. And I feel like at this point, I think this is the most mechanically perfect episode. Like, every scene has a purpose. Everything they're doing is justified. Nothing is for granted. Like, and there's so much happening in this episode, and it all just happens so seamlessly.
It does seem to be like, it feels like the animation was of kind of last season.
compared to some of the other episodes.
Yeah.
But they, as in, they take a lot, it's more interesting, it takes a lot more risk.
I think Mark Kirkland is the director on this one. Mm-hmm. I think he is one of the more safer directors, and
he's
feel like...
He's also directed the most episodes that ever too, of a yeah. Simpsons person.
Yeah. And we, for this recording session, to spoil things, we did watch some by like Rich Moore, mm-hmm. who's awesome, and Wes Archer, who's also really awesome. So that's hard to compare his work to them.
Yeah, but Kirkland is like, I guess he's the quiet one of the Fab Four or whatever, that he just kind of works in the background and delivers his stuff on time, but he's not as interesting as, say, a Jim Reardon or a David Silverman.
But I would not disparage his work. He does
certainly
great stuff.
Not, yeah. No. The episode begins with a Homer waking up and hearing about all-you-can-eat barbecue, which I could go for right now. Man.
I haven't had the opportunity to partake in years.
Do you remember those signs you'd see in the South of, like, yes. Ace Barbecued, yes. A-Y-C-E? And
it's something I didn't even realize I'd lost, and, like, this episode made me want it back all over again.
I wanted to feel as fat as Homer.
Marge, honey, I've got 5 words to say to you. Greasy Joe's Bottomless Barbecue. Bit.
Remember you promised you'd try to limit pork to 6 servings a week?
Marge, I'm only human. Now look, here's what we're going to do. We'll unload the kids on Patty and Selma Saturday night, and then we'll eat until they kick us out of the place, just like old times.
Saturday night? I'm not even sure my sisters will be available.
I'll take that bet.
You know what that is going to mean, though, is Marge is going to be sitting there for hours watching Homer eat.
Well, I like that he says, just like old times, to say when they dated in like his early 20s, like, yeah, it's what we did, like 5 nights a week, I'd shut down an all-you-can-eat place.
Yeah, I think in the next couple episodes, there's a lot of glimmers into how much Marge's life sucks.
Yeah. Yes.
I also do miss Homer's wake-up squiggly hair. Like, I feel like it feels like a very season 2 thing.
And they drew like little beard stubble on his beard stubble. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's little touches that they kind of lose over time.
Yeah, those little details.
And then when Marge calls Patty and Selma, and we get to see them on the job.
There was one thing I missed there. He gets excited about barbecue from talking to Barney, who's obviously just maxed out on barbecue.
In the morning!
And they establish it as 8 a.m.
Yeah. Did he just like binge and then fall asleep, and that's the first thing he did when he woke up?
Feel like he just got home.
Oh, wow, man. Must be 24 hours and
so
all you
can
eat.
So he eats the all-you-can-eat, then goes on like a bender the rest of the night.
Ah, that makes sense, yeah. Yeah. We're learning more about Barney's life in this episode.
I learned a lot about Barney at the end that I've forgotten this fact of his life that he says later. But we'll get to that.
Before we go to the DMV, though, again, I'll point this out again. I said it before. Like, this episode is so well written. They justify Patty and Selma coming to the house. Like, but in any other episode, they just be there. But they have to set up all of this work. But there are jokes in there. There's funny things happening. There's story beats. But they're also justifying these story choices, which I think is cool.
They're taking steps to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just... Yeah, they're here because Patty and Selma are here. Duh. Let's just hurry this up.
They feel like they need a reason. So, yeah, that's why I like the writing in this episode a lot. So they are at the DMV. And do we have a clip of Patty and Selma at their jobs?
I don't.
Okay, because this is where we first see Hans Molman. He first speaks. I think we see him before this. But
he's a background character that famously Matt Groening hates. He saw him the first time and was like, is that some sort of mole man? And I think they just kept including him because he looks that bad. Like, he looks that hideous.
He is the only person in the Simpsons universe that is that color.
Yeah.
And it would imply it's due to deterioration.
And then they just kept using him because he just is so distracting. Or they'll do a horrible thing to him. He's exploded multiple times.
I think they reuse him just to make Matt Groening mad.
And
you know,
Homer
honestly.
Kissing the peanut. Like the kid, it's like kissing a peanut. One of the best lines ever.
Oh my brain. But it's so depressing and sets up Patty and Selma as a very weird relationship. I love the flashback to they're going to a wedding of one of their employees that, if I'd only sat next to this person, I'd be getting married right now. But
them working in the DMV is a perfect job for them.
Yeah.
Too.
And, oh, yes. That they do the worst thing imaginable in addition to being obnoxious people.
Yeah. I mean, they're the most boring, sour people ever in the most boring, sour place you could possibly exist.
Yeah, their apartment sucks.
Yeah, I love those choices. It's just like the blandest apartment. Yeah. It's like Soviet-style housing.
But they have that really, really hideous lamp that they must have brought back from Egypt. One trip, apparently.
They take miserable trips with one another.
Well, that
they
hate.
Oh, no, wait. We've seen a couple miserable... We see them at Lenin's tomb, too. So miserable.
I guess it's implied that it's because they're always single. They just have all this money and they take trips together.
True, they got money and time.
And then I love this. This is my early on line of the show.
That's the joke.
Randy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But my life, my love, and my lady, is the sea.
Poor Brandy. Anselma, do you think you'll ever get married?
Oh, I don't know. Why? You know somebody?
No.
Oh, wait, no, coming right after that was my favorite line. So, like, I consider you're going to be one of the statistically insignificant women over 40 who ever find their parents.
I just love Lisa saying no to that. Like, no, I'm not even going to
All right, I'm the only single person at this table. And honestly, this episode got a little too real for me. I was like, oh, God, I'm reaching my 40s. Like, well, I'm 7 years away from my 40s, but I'm reaching Selma's age and just, oh, I feel lonely. This is a bummer.
You're a man. You don't need a companion. That's what an iPad is for.
I just felt bad because it's... The last time, I can't really remember any other episodes where we see that Patty and Selma's relationship is very codependent.
Yes,
very
much. It is, yeah. Like, this episode, I didn't think it ended as sweet as I thought it originally did this time.
No.
I feel like Patty is kind of a destructive force in Selma's life.
Yes.
Vice versa.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Finally, Marge gives Homer a decree.
Do you remember our last family vacation when you made us go to the Bowlers Hall of Fame in St. Louis, Missouri, so you could see that car shaped like a giant bowling pin?
Remember? Who could forget?
Then you'll also remember that you owe me a favor.
To
be called up whenever and for whatever reason I desire.
But that was just an idle promise.
Not to me.
Oh.
I want you to find a husband for my sister Selma.
Find a husband? Wait, which one's Selma again?
She's the one who likes Police Academy movies and Hummel figurines and walking through the park on clear autumn days.
Oh, yeah. But I thought she was the one who didn't like to be, you know, touched.
It's Patty who chose a life of celibacy. Selma simply had celibacy thrust upon her.
But Marge...
Homer, you will find her a man.
All right.
And not just any man.
Okay.
You should be honest. You will find her a man.
All right.
And not just any man.
Okay.
You should be honest and caring and well off and handsome.
Hey, why should she have a better husband than you do?
I do want to, spoilers, in 15 years, it's revealed that Patty is gay.
He's gay.
So, yeah, I watched multiple...
That was the first episode aired after the movie, if I recall.
Oh, there's things on different levels on this, too. If you view this as, like, Patty is actually a lesbian and not celibate, also, Skinner's mother is not in this episode.
No.
Skinner's definitely a dweeb, but he's not
but also, right,
Norman.
Do you think that was
Bates.
Norman Bates?
That was the Simpsons' way of saying Patty was gay all the way back then?
I don't think that's what they were telegraphing. I think they
only because in the previous episode, Smithers doesn't get to be as gay as he'd eventually become either.
Right. I don't think they would figure that out until later. Mm. It was just like, oh, I think it was kind of like, oh, this character is a masculine woman, so ergo, she is probably a lesbian, which is something I don't necessarily agree with.
Who do you hear about nowadays that is willfully celibate? Mm. It just seemed like code for back in the day that was
asexual,
somebody who's gay.
It's actually more people identifying as asexual.
I don't hear about it on television.
No, probably not. But
yeah.
I think there's a bunch of stuff I want to mention there. First off, that is my line of the show, the celibacy thrust upon
me. Too,
me.
Yeah.
But also, I definitely had gone on trips where it was just one parent's dream to go on that trip and everybody else suffers through it. And I also think that's the first time they've had a Marge say,
remember
that
time?
And then Homer
grabs
looks at a picture.
That's always on the nightstand.
There's at least four of those. I do think it's a great achievement. David Stern gets you to sympathize with these characters who were just there in the past to be just sour and awful. Not only are they sympathetic, they're also like distinguishable from each other. Like Patty is different than Selma, which is something we never really saw before.
Yeah.
You know,
I love Skinner finally getting a chance to shine.
Oh,
because I think
when
Harry Shearer had threatened to quit the show, I'm like, none of your characters matter to me except for Skinner.
Skinner's one of my favorites. There's nothing funny to me than a boring character.
Yes.
Because those are the hardest jokes to write.
Yes.
Oh, also, there was one other thing right before that is when Homer's on the phone with Barney telling about how awesome that food was, which in today's day and age, Homer would have just taken like 80 Instagrams of his meal. But so when he's talking with Barney on the phone, Patty is snoring on this chair next to him, and then he says, what? No, that's just my sister. Is that a fart joke? Does Barney think that the noises of the snoring is Homer's farting after barbecue?
I guess you could read it that way, maybe.
Well, what is Barney saying? There's like, what noise does Barney think that is? That is actually Patty?
Maybe it's his stomach noises, because then later he's sleeping and his stomach is like making crazy noises. Okay.
In terms of, I love how much this show is dated. I mean, this is the reality I grew up in, but none of this exists anymore. Here's Bart eventually gets in trouble with Skinner. Homer is at the same time off trying to find Selma a man.
Yeah, this brings Homer into this story.
Homer. Into Seymour Skinner's office, but I love this clip, but it also emphasizes a time that I grew up in.
Bart, I'm flabbergasted. Surely you knew as you were writing your own name in 40-foot high letters on the field that you would be caught.
Maybe it was one of the other Barts, sir.
There are no other Barts!
Uh-oh.
The sheer contempt demonstrated by this incident makes me wish I could pull the trusty Board of Education out of retirement.
So I think I've explained this on many a podcast, but it is a weird transition I'm proud to have grown up in. I was spanked when I was a little kid, and then I remember that didn't happen anymore because it became unpopular. I remember when I started kindergarten, every kid got spanked with the Board of Education.
Oh, wow.
And then I remember in first grade, you had to take the kid in the bathroom away from the other children.
That's what happened to me the one time I was spanked at school.
Yes. Yeah. And then second grade, there was one person authorized to do the paddling. And then the third year, only the principal could do the paddling.
By the governor.
And then the fourth year, in fourth grade, you had to have permission for the principal to hit you with a paddle. And by the fifth year, there was no more spanking ever involved in school. Oh. But the paddle stuck around in the principal's office. And he pointed at it.
Yeah, it can still work as a threat to children, yes, I suppose, if you want.
Was it more like a paddle? I mean, because that looked like a cricket bat.
It was absolutely
was a
cricket
paddle.
With
cricket
holes
bat.
Drilled in it so it would go faster. Oh. This is what we were all... I almost got hit with it once and cried until I got out of it.
Oh, yeah. My friends had a formal spanking ceremony that I was witness to once where you hang the paddle where it can be seen. Mm-hmm. They had to sign their names on it, and it was one of those cricket things. So it's like, when it's time for you to get beaten, you bring the paddle to me. So, and now they're all burnout hippies because they were beaten as children. So that's what happens when you beat your kid. So don't do that.
What is up, Talking Simpsons fans? Chris here, briefly jumping in to tell you this show is brought to you by Geek Fuel. And if you go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, you can get a free Star Wars item worth $20 just for signing up for a mystery box. So what's in the mystery box, you ask? 6 to 8 items, an exclusive t-shirt, and a $50 value of Kit and Caboodle featuring famous stuff from Marvel, DC, Nintendo, Zelda, Game of Thrones, Pop Figs, pint glasses, posters. You never know quite what it's going to be, but it's like a delicious geeky gift that shows up at your door whenever you feel like it. And oh, guess what? They've had Simpsons stuff involved in the box in the past. So go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, sign up for one of their boxes, get it as a gift for a geek in your life, and get a free $20 Star Wars item right now.
Before that scene, like, Homer is getting in his Terminator vision. Yeah. And there's a bunch of great little jokes there. Also, that Apu end up with Selma at some point is a joke, I feel like.
I think that's one of the many, like, Terwilliger, Nahasapima Petalon. Yeah.
I'm Terwilliger Bouvier, Nahasapima Petalon Bouvier. But oh, no, wait. She refuses to marry him to let him stay in the country.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's,
oh, but at the school is my first exposure to the movie Vertigo without realizing
me too,
it.
Me too, yeah.
Diana, what's your expert opinion on this?
The most random thing.
So out of nowhere.
The whole thing is the you know, he needs to go up on the roof and see what Bart has done to the...
Yes.
He could just be on the roof. But yeah. For this one episode...
To make a Vertigo reference.
Just for the
multiple Vertigo references.
They have him, run up a bell tower, look down, and get the Vertigo zoom cam.
Yeah. And the bell tower is there the whole time. And we were talking about it beforehand. Like, the bell tower was on Springfield Elementary the whole episode.
Yeah.
For some weird reason.
Well,
and we brought it up the bell tower is fake.
In Vertigo.
In Vertigo as well.
I watched multiple Hitchcock films because Simpsons referenced them so much. Vertigo, Rear Window, The Birds, North by Northwest. Yeah. Psycho.
This Rear Window.
And also the episode right before this has a very gratuitous and needless North by Northwest shot of Homer almost being run over and falling down just as the star.
Cary Grant.
Cary Grant.
But also a needless Gone with the Wind reference.
That's even more needless.
But it doesn't relate to anything at all.
I think it fits better than the Vertigo one because because there's at least some narrative justification, not just like, oh, I don't have vertigo, but here's a shot from it.
But
you know?
It felt like this was the middle of season two is when the directors and the writers realized we could just like outright parody anything.
Yeah.
They'll just draw it.
I think of that Itchy and Scratchy and Marge animator going, I'm so funny.
I used to think of these the glory days of their subtle references, but there's no subtlety to this at all.
Yeah, it's like, where did this even come from? Is it just they're thinking he runs upstairs? Hey, it's like Vertigo.
Do they want us to think he's going to murder Patty? That's what I wonder.
Well, Vertigo is about like a doppelganger, yes. So wow, it's all coming together now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spoiler for Vertigo, yeah. I guess.
So I had never, my parents had to explain to me what a homosexual was, why Homer's sexual was a pun on something.
Never got it at the time.
I think that might be my
line. Hello,
is
Homer there?
Homer who?
Or line of the show.
Homer sexual.
Wait 1 second, let me check. Homosexual? come on, one of you guys has got to be homosexual.
Don't look at me.
No. You rotten little punk. If I ever get a hold of you, I'll sink my teeth into your cheek and rip your face
You'll
off.
You'll do what, young man?
What?
I like how Mo calls him Principal Skinner. He's afraid of Skinner. I think he's older than Skinner.
Yeah.
What? Wait, who is this?
I think the real question is, who is this and where is Homer Simpson?
Whoa, sorry, Principal Skinner, sorry. It's a bad connection, I think. I think Bart's in trouble again.
Don't! He doesn't realize it's Bart.
He does recognize... But why does Mo recognize Principal Skinner?
That's a good question.
Well, there's a later joke in the show that implies he taught these people, but I think this is when, obviously, they're not thinking of Mo as one of the original Little Rascals.
No.
He does
look older than Skinner, even now.
Yeah.
I do like in this episode, Skinner is not as ineffectual as he would become. And because of that, Harry Shearer has to try, like, there are no other Barts. I love that line because it's just him screaming. And, God, I love when Harry Shearer tries. It doesn't happen anymore.
It's back before Super Nintendo Chalmers would be the real heavy of teaching.
Exactly.
Homer's bluntness about trying to see if he was gay.
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
I never picked up on that. And that's why I hope the album art for this is possible homosexual.
Yeah.
It's a great callback. But again, overly elongated Terminator reference throughout that episode.
Is it Terminator or RoboCop?
Shit.
Yes, it's really
I think
both.
It'd be either.
Terminator, well, it would have been red.
This
all
is pre-Terminator 2, so I don't remember what Terminator 1 looked like.
No, it was in Terminator 1
It was in Terminator 1 for
not
sure.
Not as lengthy.
But yeah, it's red vision instead of green vision.
I don't know. I guess it's just in general first-person view. They only had really Terminator and RoboCop to go on at that point.
So what happens... Homer tries to introduce Principal Skinner to absolve Bart of any punishment, I guess, to try and introduce Skinner to Selma. Why did I burp during that?
We didn't mention before Bart kills part of the lawn with the chemical.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to get there.
He gets from Martin. They're in class together. Martin's voice is pretty much Milhouse's voice.
Oh, is it?
It's not Rusty Taylor.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But this is Homer trying to introduce Selma to Skinner.
Now, Simpson, I had a discomforting thought on the way over here. This dinner wouldn't be a master plan of yours to set me up with some unmarried relation, would it? Because I can assure you that be still, my foolish heart.
Here we go. Boy meets beast. Principal Skinner, allow me to introduce you to my wife's lovely and available sister, Selma.
Hey, Tubbs, I'm Patty.
What?
Patty.
Wrong one.
Hey, Tubbs, I'm Patty.
Patty. Yeah. They do give Patty and Selma, they give Selma S-shaped earrings in this episode so the viewer can tell more than based on hairstyles.
So are we to assume that if Selma had the spine to go out there and not gotten nervous that he would have fallen in love with her?
I think so. Unless he doesn't like her parted puffy hair.
Yeah, she doesn't like the hair like the Grand Tetons.
Yes, but yeah,
it just happened to her again.
Again, she didn't
again,
have the
she
guts.
She had the chance, and then Patty ruined it.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes all you got to do is take that shot, people.
Well,
listen up.
No, I partially blame Selma. Like, she chose not to, no, I'm too nervous, I can't.
Totally,
like,
but she didn't take the shot,
for
man.
You.
She didn't put herself out there.
And then it's, I feel so bad for her. Campbell bit Selma. Oh, I hear that's awful. Yeah, so anyway.
yeah. And again, with more narrative justification, like they go see a movie, but it's because the parent advisory board asks Skinner to watch this movie. They're not just going to this movie for fun.
Down Under?
Yeah.
Boy.
And their relationship is just like Skinner and Enes would be later. They get along because they hate the same things. Like, that's who Patty is, and Skinner is learning to hate just like Patty does.
And whatever candy is her favorite is disgusting.
Cherry cordials.
Every time cherry cordial, I think of that.
I've never heard it before. What is it?
If you get an assorted box of chocolates, you'll usually find one in there. It's basically a chocolate-covered cherry, or really a maraschino cherry, with like a bunch of sugary cherry-flavored syrup over it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And a whole box of those? Like, I can't imagine eating a whole box.
Here's the clip of that.
Bart, you wouldn't happen to know what sort of candy your Aunt Patty likes, would you?
Cherry cordial, sir.
No. Very good. Now then, regarding your punishment, do you feel that you've learned your lesson?
Here's another first.
Just the thought of doing anything bad again, this makes my stomach turn.
Well then, you're free to go.
Well, Willie, you can take it from here. Adios, dude.
You'll be back. You haven't seen the last of Willie.
Yeah,
that's so weird.
There he is.
He's given a name before he's shown. I just didn't remember the introduction of Groundskeeper Willie was very specific.
Can I tell the story of how he was created? Ooh, yeah. He was just a nondescript groundskeeper character, and Dan Castellaneta is in the booth saying, "Who is this guy?" So he tries out a few accents. He did a Spanish accent. They're like, "That's too stereotypical." Then he does like a dumb Swede, and they're like, "Nah." And then he lands on Scottish. I'm like, that's a funny idea, because the idea of a Scottish groundskeeper is the joke. Yeah. Like, he's not like a Mexican guy like you would expect, or you know, any other stereotype
he's
like that.
Of the culture that created the golf course.
Exactly. He should know what he's doing.
But he's just supposed to be a one-off character. They also say on the commentary, when he says, "You haven't seen the last of Willie," the writers are saying, "Yes, we have. We're never putting him back in the show."
He says it again later in the episode.
And now he has entire episodes about him in the show.
Yeah, where they go to Loch Ness, and he talks about his time in North Kilttown, and that he has the perfectly chiseled body underneath those overalls.
Just like Flanders.
Yeah, just like Flanders.
He's got a real body by Ned.
And his father was hanged for stealing a pig.
I want to burn this clip just because they go out to eat at the Springfield's Revolving Restaurant.
Oh, right.
I forget I've been to one of those. It's ridiculous. But
did you see cool stuff out the window like they did?
There's a ton in these episodes. There are a ton of background jokes. And you can hear it in this clip. Like, it's a riot at the Springfield Penitentiary, which for some reason is 18 stories tall in the center of town, right next to the rotating
visible
restaurant.
From that, yeah. I will say, in Youngstown, Ohio, the most visible landmark is the prison.
Oh God!
So
really?
There you go.
Hey, come on, get some service over here. And that's for water three times now.
Is everything all right?
Well, 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 if it isn't a little Jimmy Pearson. Class of 71, I believe.
Good evening, Principal Skinner.
Pearson, get this woman a glass of water immediately. And tuck in your shirt.
Yes, sir.
Nearly 30 and still working as a busboy. Tell you, standardized testing never lies.
Love that line. Okay, no. Wait a minute. What? Class of 71? He'd have been in Vietnam in 71.
You think
so? In the late 60s?
But the war formally ended in like 60...
No, it was like 74.
74. Oh, yeah. Never mind. I was wrong about that.
He was in it... Well, all right.
Diana was alive back then, so she...
They don't give a set time of when he's in Vietnam, but he's barely returned from Vietnam.
Principal Skinner's been working with the government for longer than my retired father.
Yeah.
At this point.
So then they set up also the Australian... And when they get to the Space Mutants, I thought Space Mutants typifies like early Simpsons for me. But they're already up to the Australian one. I thought, how many? I don't think there's many more appearances by the Space Mutants.
We've seen it once in the Telltale Head. That's the movie
that
they sneak into. Yeah.
And this is
and
part
now
five.
They're up to the Australian variation. Like
Down Under.
Is there another? I can't remember if there's another Space Mutants after
And they make
one.
Fun of the Australian craze, but I think we were smack dab upon it.
We were.
With, 5 years later.
The Rescuers just went down under, so. Sort of Quigley.
And then after their date too, when Skinner makes an advance on her and she rejects him, she's basically Miss Piggy in that scene.
Yeah, she judo chops him across the room.
Yep. And notice in that scene his little feet when you're watching. Skinner has very little feet.
I will say, I don't know if this cannot be intentional, but when something scary happens in the movie and she holds on to him and he says, "Hello, Dolly."
They like
established
that
last season is his favorite movie.
Oh, really? Which episode?
Last season. I don't know, but they open the episode with him showing it to the kids
they
in the auditorium
did.
And they hate
it. Oh, you mean the 27th season?
Yeah.
He shows
literally.
Yeah, I watched that episode. It's the most live action footage you've ever seen in The Simpsons, and it's Skinner showing Hello Dolly to a Springfield.
Wow. That's a weird character detail they held
on to. Holy shit, Diana. I'm glad you were here to remind me of that. Or to bring it up in general. But Homer tries to write it by setting up Selma with somebody else.
Oh, right.
Homer, lighten up. You're making happy hour bitterly ironic.
Mo, I gotta find a date for my big, fat, snotty sister-in-law, Selma.
Hey, I'm intrigued. What does Selma look like?
Oh, like my wife's ugly sister.
Wheeler in, Homer. I'm not a picky man.
Wheeler in.
I love Barney in these episodes because he's not just a punchline, not just like one line that like accents another joke. He's like playing into these stories as like this degenerate drunk, and he's great.
And his next scene, like everybody made me laugh in this sequence when Selma's getting dolled up. Barney comes.
We have the first appearance of G. Your lip looks hairless.
G. Your lips look hairless.
Yeah.
And looking like the Yosemite Sam. Oh,
my favorite line it was in the scene. It was Homer saying, "Take it to the hoop, Selma." When Barney says,
"The right piece of cheese to catch the mouse. It's time to give away my love like so much cheap wine.
Take it to the hoop, Selma."
I love it.
Hey, look what I brought. It snaps.
I'll take that.
Barney is followed by a fly.
That flies too much.
It flies too much.
We know he's a filthy drunk who zipped up his shirt through his
it was
fly.
Like,
but he's wearing a tie.
Yeah,
with the small end way longer than the big end.
I did get like a subtle reference to Mystery Date when you open the door and it's like the dud or whatever. I feel like Barney was the ultimate dud.
But then Selma, it felt like a certain level of empathy for Selma you rarely see on the show where. She is realizing, like, yeah, I guess I am. This is me choosing to settle. Like, yeah. I guess I'll just settle for this awful, awful mistake.
It's a choice all women must face. we are disgusting.
Earlier, I mean, she shows a lot of self-awareness because she's like, I'm fat. I'm getting fatter. I'm getting older. I need to find a man. She realizes, like this is who I am, and I hate it.
But Barney is the absolute bot. Like, she's like, if you go to Barney, like, there's probably five other guys at that bar she should have gotten with before Barney. Like,
maybe this Herman,
is,
the guy.
I guess... If Lenny and Carl were bigger parts in the show at this point,
they were deemed too attractive.
Yeah.
Carl was too attractive
for
Selma.
Now we know. Because I never had no idea what the barometer was for Simpsons attractiveness.
Yeah, really.
So, did you notice the callback to the "I am still a wiener" in the background too?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The callbacks. El Barto, because Bart during this whole thing, Bart gets to run riffshod over Springfield Elementary. Owner and proprietor, by the way, on the
he works for
the
me
sign.
Now. I thought it was a mistake on Seymour's part to tell Bart that he was planning to marry Patty. He tells Bart, like,
you tell a kid?
You would never tell a 10-year-old that you're going to propose.
He's just so lovesick, he wants to tell everybody about it. Like,
it has no other
like he says, I wish I could make a PA announcement about how much I'm in love with Selma. He's like so excited about being in love because he's so lonely.
And Bart knows it's a mistake. He's like, your funeral.
Yeah. That is funny. Like, and then Selma's like, I'm so depressed. What did you learn at school today, Bart? And Bart tells Selma, and like her reaction is just the ash falling from her cigarette.
That was a great reaction, yeah.
This culminates with another Vertigo reference in the tower.
They're going up to the bell tower, which means, is she going to fall, jump, be pushed?
I never thought
is it murder?
I only thought about that. Thinking about it now, but like, is that what they want? Like, were they? That's sort of what I love about old Simpsons because these movies were staples for everybody. They assumed everybody would get these references. Where I don't think 80% of the population would get a Vertigo or Gone with the Wind reference.
Yeah. My parents had to tell me all of them. Yeah,
me too.
I'd seen these movies at that point, but
I had not seen Vertigo
by
as a 10-year-old.
You'd seen Vertigo.
No, well, Gone with the Wind's my mom's favorite movie, okay. So I've seen that a bunch. But I'd probably seen it. My dad watches that stuff all the time.
Okay.
But
I'm almost positive I saw Vertigo by the time I was 10.
But I do wonder, did the writers want you to think...
Well, also, I'm a nerd.
Did the writers want you to think there'd be a Vertigo-type plot when they got to the top of the tower?
I don't think so. I think so. They just want the audience to go, oh, that's cute. You know, like, that was basically what you're supposed to get out of it.
Well, they built that tower for that episode. They might as well use it.
Yeah. So what it sounds like is that both, at some certain points, Julie Kavner and Harry Shearer are recorded in a different room. Like, the room tone here at the top of
this. Yeah.
It sounds like... Because they're on the top of a tower, but it sounds like a room.
Marry me, Patty? Jeezum crow, look at the size of that rock.
It's the second most precious jewel in this bell tower. Patty, the question before you is, will you marry me?
Seymour, I don't know. I mean, this is so...
Oh, just say whatever's in your heart.
Okay. You see, it's not that I don't love you.
You love me! Galoo-galay!
Wow, I love that.
Yes, yes, but...
But?
But I'm a twin. And as such, I have a special...
Special tie to your sister, yes.
Mm-hmm. And the only man I could marry would have to understand...
That you couldn't leave your sister for any man. Oh.
Yes. So I know you appreciate why you can never...
See you again?
Exactly. It's kind of a catch-22.
Ouch.
Yeah, major codependency.
Yeah, I don't
get it. Patty is keeping men away from Selma. Selma is Patty's excuse for not, I don't know, coming out or dealing with anything.
So, okay, I'm reading
it
that way
now.
I grew
up with two sets of twins, one paternal, one identical, and they both live on different sides of the country.
But,
but why wouldn't you?
She seems to be into Seymour here. I don't think the writers were writing her as a lesbian then. Now you can read into it that, like, she's really saying no because I'm not into dudes, and you're the dude I've liked the most to this point, but I still wouldn't have sex with you. But.
Yeah, well, you could even say, let's pretend that she's totally straight and totally into dudes. Even then, it's sort of like, well, Selma's never going to get married, so I can't let her be lonely.
Yeah.
Aww.
So, like I said, it's codependent and really sad.
It's funny, the episode even points that out, like, when Selma and Patty reunite, and, like, Selma's like, you gave up your one chance of love just so I could be happy? She's like, yeah. You know, like, they definitely, like, point
nice.
That out. Yeah.
That's nice. I also love the... So right after that, when we visit Barney on the date, he says, then after the service, well, next few years are a blur.
I'd like to see Barney in the army. That seems like an episode that we need to watch.
I guess I could see Barney... Well, we have seen Barney in the Naval Reserves.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I love referencing. I know that every plot you could suggest has been an episode at this point, but... That I guess Barney flunked out of high school, or he finished high school, but then didn't go to college, and I guess just joined the army. And I would guess he went 4F as an alcoholic. That's what I would think the eventual finale to is.
Sweet. I'm glad to know I can totally get out of the army.
I'm thinking that's a dishonorable discharge.
Yeah, something happened.
That's probably it. But then,
or he just went AWOL on a bender. Or, I
felt like there. So the very ending, which is the final line, is Groundskeeper Willie's, but that. It's just Bart quietly planting the seeds again. I felt like there's
another
to be
reference
music or something there.
Because it's like a crop. It's not replanting his the letters of his name.
Well, I think it's after he did his name, and then after they did the, you know, will you marry me? The whole thing is just trash.
I thought it was another
Gone
with the Wind.
Make
reference.
Him do everything.
But I couldn't be sure. Couldn't
I
be sure.
I don't think
it was
Gone
either.
With the Wind reference.
I think Skinner just made the punishment even worse because just to get back
Patty
to Bart.
Was so big, they just had to destroy everything.
Yeah.
Like, nope,
yeah.
Got to start from scratch here.
So have we explained the Gone with the Wind reference in case
anyone
doesn't know?
I don't know how it applies to anything happening in the show.
Really?
Skinner breaks down and then he notices Bart Simpson has put, under Springfield Elementary, Bart Simpson owner and proprietor, and then he gets his, like, resolve back. He says, after all, tomorrow is another school day.
Yeah.
It resembles the same shot in Gone with the Wind where her father recommends buying land.
Yeah. Or it's like, I mean, it's a combination of, like, two shots of Gone with the Wind. One with the red sky and him silhouetted, tomorrow's another, you know, I will never be hungry again.
Yeah.
And also that sort of bendy tree is used a bunch of times, so shots over the land with that bendy tree and big horizon.
Even if
everything.
It's frivolous, though, it's a beautiful shot in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was, like, pretty amazing looking even 25 years later.
Totally.
Yeah, but it's
they
so
were putting
random.
It to work, at least, but it is very... It's very random, especially when they already have the Vertigo stuff. Like, it's just like it's a hat on a hat.
And Terminator.
Yeah.
And
who else was doing this? Just working references in
nobody
seamlessly.
Nobody was,
yeah.
pretty much. No.
So they could have creative license. Not anymore. So yeah, that was Talking Simpsons. That was Principal Charming. I love it, and I hope you guys like this episode. I am Bob Mackey, your host. Find me at Bob Servo on Twitter. I also host the classic gaming podcast Retronauts, so listen to that if you like video games, and you should. Mm-hmm. Who else is here?
Chris Antista of Laser Time. There's a whole bunch of shows in the Laser Time Network. You might have heard of us. I just feel like this was one of the episodes that was taken out of syndication rotation for some reason.
Really? I saw it a lot in syndication.
It feels like, compared to the ones before and after this, I've seen this one a lot less for some reason.
And I'm Henry Gilbert, and I host Cape Crisis every week, the comic book podcast on the Laser Time Network. I also wanted to mention, I forgot that they originally were going to have a joke about Skinner's toupee in there. He's clearly drawn to have a toupee, but Groening has always resisted because he thinks it's too obvious a joke. Though, in Simpsons Comics number 2, he has his toupee ripped off. At least in that comic, which is vaguely canonical, Skinner wears a toupee.
It's canon.
I'm Diana Goodman. My husband hosts Video Game Apocalypse here on the Laser Time Network. I'm also on Twitter at listenanerd.com. I always say .com. At listenanerd. Period.
And the show you like
I'm
to do?
I'm bad at Twitter. And I'm also now on 302010. We talk about old timey stuff.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode.
At night, when the bars close down, Brandy walks through a silent town and loves a man who's not around. She still can hear him say, she hears him say, Brandy, you're a